Okay. Okay. So, welcome to Discover Energy Work. And today, well, it's great to have you back. Today, I have Dave Powell, David Powell. And really, I became aware of David because of his remote viewing prowess. And I just kept on having this feeling I want to interview this guy. Just had for a feeling, I don't know why. And then I saw he was on a Taoist group, and I thought, oh, maybe he's a Taoist. So Taoist just means to me somebody who thinks that nature is a good thing to connect to. So that's really what Tao means to me. So Dave, is it Dave or David?
Dave's fine. Dave's fine. It's great to be here. How are you doing, Richard?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. How are you doing?
Good. You're staying busy, working, doing a little bit of instructing and a lot of remote viewing.
Right. Well, you know, like what kind of what I'm interested in is like your story, because I feel like there's, I mean, remote viewing, if some people don't know that about remote viewing. I mean, it started with the military, and then it is sort of it's now really on, I'd say, like second or third generation, from the the startings at Stanford Research with Ingo Swan and da 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 da. But when did you first have an idea that something so ridiculous as remote viewing could even be possible?
Yeah, it was it's so interesting. And this is one of my first thing I ask people is like, what it's a good question, like what brought you into this field? And it's so different for everyone. For me, it was about 7 years ago. My dad was in the military. He knew of this. He was in the Army. He knew of the program, the Stargate program, and he had told me about it. And I had watched some people use controlled remote viewing online and stuff like that. And I'm like, boy, this looks complicated. So I figured I would start out with kind of what they were doing at the Monroe with HemiSync. And I got a group together and we started assigning targets and we would sit down, we listened to the tones, focus on a number, and we would slip into bilocations. We would name targets, we would describe targets. So at that point we knew it was real, and I was so kind of falling in love with it in a way. That's kind of from there I went into controlled remote viewing.
Right. I'm kind of curious because, like, for a start, I mean, it sounds very interesting, but my question is, like, was there some sort of lead up? Was there a childhood experience? Was there some near-death experience? Was there some knowing, or was it like,
Well,
just, oh, my dad said you can do
yeah.
this. Oh, well, all right, I'll give it a whirl,
I will say, I had some friends that were kind of doing some other kind of esoteric type of things, and I had felt innately that there was something kind of, my own intuition was kind of bubbling up to something. I felt like there was something more going on. And I'm so glad I did it because it's funny. I'm kind of an extremist in a way where, like, I used to, I bowling. Oh, we're doing bowling. Okay, I'm gonna go get a bowling ball. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna get lessons and this, that, and the other. And I got to a point where I just wasn't that good of a bowler. I would get to kind of a pinnacle. And then I realized in quick time, I'm a better remote viewer than a better bowler than I'll ever be. So maybe this is what I should be doing. And it kind of went from there.
Right. So literally went for, so you got a group together. So, I mean, how is that? I mean, I'm just curious because I'm thinking Dave's gone mental. He wants us to go and visit targets with our minds. I mean, was that like, was
It's
that the reaction you got from your friends? I mean, like coming out and saying,
yes.
I'm going to do this, it couldn't really,
It was different. It
divide
was
the
different
wheat
for
from the
everybody.
chaff.
Yeah. I mean, my wife, it's funny because my wife really was good at, I mean, she's just one somebody that kind of I was really impressed by how easily she slipped into the ability to do this. But she was almost annoyed by the fact that I was always bugging her, like, come on, I want you to do this target, this and the other, you know, we've got kids and other things to do. And, you know, somebody's got to deal with those things, you know. But very quickly, I would sign her a blind target. She would come out. And I remember once I assigned her a target, and same thing, hemi-sync. And she goes, hold on a second. She gets on her phone because she saw an image in her mind. And she says, was the target Taj Mahal? And that's what the target was. So quickly, it was like, you know, some friends that I brought into it were really enthusiastic about it, really got into it. People like my wife, she just had other things to do. she thought it was interesting, but that's about as far as it went.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, because I do find that there's people that go, yeah, it's possible. And it's almost like they know that's not for me. But yeah, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember your first experience of remote viewing with whatever, whether it was a hemi-sync or whatever, and then a target, I'm there. Can you explain to people how that might feel and how, like,
so in that, we call it a modality, that's more of an extended remote viewing modality. In that sense, it's a very immersive experience. So you're just basically listening to these hemi-sync tones, relaxing right on the cusp of asleep, and then an image, is the best way I can describe it, starts to come into focus in your mind. And the first big target was the Hoover Dam that I had, and it was the first bilocation I had had. And I am literally, I'm seeing guys leaning over the edge, you know, people moving around in real time. And it was very brief, but it was very visceral, very real. Mm. And I knew where I was at. So it was, you know, it's a very profound experience. I had a few really good ones following that. I was attached to Playboy Mansion, and I had a very visceral, I was very, very in the moment. I was in the mansion, and he's dancing, and he had all these girls around him. It's almost addicting when you just want to keep exploring these targets through non-local means. It's so much fun.
Wow. I hadn't heard that the Playboy Mansion was even a possible target. I think that sounds like we might be opening a whole new kind of ERV, erotic remote viewing. But and especially as like my own personal experience with remote viewing, I kind of because, you know, I've interviewed some, you know, people who've, you know, got a fair amount of experience with remote viewing before. And for me, I trained, and I actually, my experience with the target was so visceral that I said, I don't like this. I actually, I think a lot of people don't even realize that you're really more there than watching TV. It's not like watching TV. It's really like you're really there feeling what people are feeling.
Yeah, I mean, you're digging. I mean, like we had mentioned before, because you have had training, you're digging into the history of whatever might be there as well. I mean, you're picking up more than just, you know, maybe a photograph of what that target is.
Yeah,
that you're picking up on the history of what that structure or location might be as well. Like you mentioned, you could really get, there's sometimes there's things that just aren't all that pleasant. And if it's as unpleasant to remote view it as if you were standing there, you know, so.
Right. Is it possible you remember the name of the Munro Institute recordings that you used?
The Gateway. They have the whole Gateway now, I think, on YouTube, but I believe I was using the Gateway process. If you could, in basically anything was working that I was used, that uses hemi-sync, if you look up hemi-sync, but there is a difference in the way the audio is recorded. The way they compress the audio can make a difference. So everything I was using was just basically off of YouTube. I looked up hemi-sync, but there are, if you, the Munro ones are better. If you can get those tracks, because the way they record the audio and the way and everything, the way you hear it's just higher quality.
Yeah, I mean, this idea of the Munro Institute was quite famous because of Bob Munro, and people had he developed this thing about like playing a tone in one ear, a tone in another ear, and then the brain created the third tone because it had to work it out. Yeah, and so
that synchronizing. Yes.
Yeah. And then he developed this whole thing, this gateway, I think it's called the gateway process, where people can have out-of-body experiences. So just giving people a background to that. So you went from there, and then how did things continue from there?
So I started getting into CRV. I got a DVD from my instructor Paul at the time, and he had put out something on Facebook called the Target Vault, and basically he would post a target and people were welcome to try whatever method they wanted it to get the target, and then we get the feedback the next week. And I was doing pretty well with that, and I think he took notice of that, and he called me and he let me know that I was awarded this scholarship to learn CRV. And I went from there and went to flew to Utah and trained for it. And then I was quickly pulled into operations after training.
Wow. So like that sounds, so operations is not like surgical operations. We're talking about like operations.
Operations?
It's very much more a military term, isn't it? Like, okay, we got an operational target now.
Exactly. And it could be anything client-based. It could be anything from a missing persons to I've done stuff that I haven't got feedback for that was really interesting that seemed military related, and they seem happy because, you know, I mean, I, like I said, you don't get feedback sometimes. Is all you get is a smile and a check. But I'm assuming I did well by the reaction. But strange things, you know, it's funny because you hear these in the field. You hear, oh, you shouldn't mess around with these targets. It's that and the other, and it's all this, that, and the other. And then as soon as you get it operations, it's the first kind of thing they throw you into. It's some very strange things.
Yeah, it's. But I imagine that's also you. You have a front end team, so you never actually come in direct contact with the person.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You always have a project manager, like a handler type of situation. The only time I deal with the client really directly is after everything's done. They may have some questions. They may have, you know, like a short interview or something. And then sometimes you just don't know. I've done like murder cases that I believe that they're like outside of this country from time to time. They're not my favorite type of work to do, but I do them on occasion. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Sometimes you just have people that will come to you just for their own curiosities.
Okay. I mean, that sounds like, bearing in mind my personal experience with remote viewing and how pretty visceral the feeling can be. Like, I'm imagining that a murder case, that might be quite, not just a bit. So how do you prepare for something like that? And how is it the first time that you're dealing with a murder case?
There, for a long time, well, it's, in the beginning, I got better. I'll just say that in the beginning.
Okay, so that sounds like your first experience was shit.
Yeah. Well, you realize the more targets you do, you start to realize what targets you just don't want to. Your subconscious does not like. I mean, I've had targets where literally I'm sketching myself standing in front of the target, like, don't look at this. but you kind of grow into that where, you know what, you could look at it and you could kind of absorb what's going on there, and then put it back down, you know, take a taste of it, and then put it away. So you kind of, over time, you get better at, because you have to kind of take a taste of the target, what's there, in order to describe what's there. And you get better at putting it back down. Because, you know, some of this stuff is just so bad. I mean, you know, some of these murder cases, there's just sick, twisted people out there, and you get into their mind and you kind of come to the conclusion like, wow, this guy's not, he is disturbed, you know? And so you just get better at dealing with those things and working with it, because you know you're working that case to serve a good cause. So you kind of learn to roll with the punches.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting because I almost got the feeling that you're talking about two instances of consciousness. Now, I don't know if you have a neuroscience degree or a psychology degree or in fact any degree. I don't think any degree is necessary for remote viewing, obviously, but it feels like that there's almost another level to it. Like there's this thing, and then there's part of you which is saying, don't go there. So there's like, you know, like, mm-hmm. Of course, in more than one worldview, there's more than the single self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see where you're going with
it. So, that's where I'm going with that. So I don't know if mm-hmm. anybody's listening to me is going to understand where I'm going. But I'm like, it's like saying, is remote viewing energy work? And then there's a spiritual level where it's like, hey, no, you don't want to go here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So I hear this talk. I really try and be that guy that's, you know, grounded in the science as much as I can be, because you're dealing with a kind of a science we don't understand, or you can call it this or that, whatever, but you experience such strange things. Well, you're experiencing these targets through your own personal filters. This information's coming through. Okay. So for instance, I have had targets where there was really not very nasty like things there. And what I'm just going to describe how the session went. Something got in between me and this thing that was there. To me, it just, you know, seemed like kind of a man. And he had basically, you know, this is all recorded in the session. Okay. Now this is a session that was, they talk about this, the military guys did this session. This is back in, I think it was 82, Argentina. There was a disappearance off of the coast of Argentina, one of the coasts, San Mateo. And all these crew members disappeared. Bill Ray tells this story, remember Stargate many times. So all these guys disappeared, food on the table. They don't really know what happened. Okay, so I get this target and so some people had the impression that these UFOs showed up or something, or these beings, or I don't know. But when I did that target, I was on the water. There was a boat there and that. And then I was getting the sense these people were getting torn apart by something. And then I kind of put my hands on the table and I had a monitor in the session. And I said to the monitor, I don't think I could do this session. Something is, I don't know what it was. Something was inducing something, felt like a fear or something. I couldn't explain it. Hmm. So I went outside, I kind of walked out, I kind of got grounded. I walked around in the grass and stuff, came back, worked the session. So I'm digging away at this target. I'm sensing all these terrible things. And finally, there was so much oppression. This oppressive feeling. Finally, something kind of stepped in and said, what are you doing? This is all in my session. And I said, I'm just, you know, remote viewing. I don't know what this target is. I was sent here. And this being basically told me, when you're opening time tunnels, you need to be careful of what's on the other side. That's exactly what he told me. Now, this guy has shown up periodically in sessions, only strange sessions. Okay. I was tasked Ingo Swann's Mothership 15 floating around the sun. He showed up then. I was feeling really oppressive, these oppressive feelings. And basically same thing. I got him, like, get out of here. So That only happens to me on really esoteric, strange targets. Now, is this my higher self? Is this, you know, I don't know what it is. Is it like some kind of imagination defense system? I don't know. I can't say. But I put it on the paper as described. I had a homework session with Paul once where it was a Native American museum, okay, with artifacts, Native American artifacts, right? So I'm going around the session. I'm describing these artifacts. And towards the end of the session, a literal Native American chief shows up. I mean, I've sketched him in the session. And he's like, what are you doing here? I'm just like, just remote viewing. And it was almost as if this being kind of read my mind and knew I was harmless and left. So every once in a while, things like that happen to me. Not everybody, but again, I don't have any psychic classical training. Everything I am doing is being pushed through the filter of remote viewing. So if you're the type of, you know, like a psychic where you've done tarot or you've done chant or all this stuff, you may process this stuff differently. This is how it comes through me, you know, when I get targets like that.
Yeah. It's fascinating because, you know, my experience with remote viewings, I was doing Kung Fu. I was in the world of Qi. I was able to feel, do remote diagnosis and sort of like medical intuitive work before I ever came across remote viewing. And I thought that was like incredible. And then I was like, remote viewing. And I, by the way, I had people that said, this is fake. Your teacher, he's a liar. He's a cheat. He's like, don't believe him. I'm like, okay, well, let me just, I'm going to put it all to one side. I'm just going to try. I'm totally, it's my own sessions. I'm the person that has to persuade me. I'm the biggest critic. And you probably, I can see you nodding to that. It's like, it's the evidence you get from your own sessions where you absolutely know nothing. And then you hit that target and you know, there's no way that I knew that.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they would show them, you know, I think when they would want to show people that this works, that's what they would do. Instead of doing a target for them, they would give them a crash course and have them do it. And then, right. You know, that's how they used to show people a legitimate thing.
I've seen, is it Russell, do that with people on YouTube. That's quite fascinating, Russell Targ. I'm fascinated by these this introduction of like entering into this world and meeting these, we'll call them entities, and like if you open a time tunnel, I mean, it sounds like it's opened your world, this remote viewing, has it?
Well, that's another thing too, is information's coming in terms that you're not familiar with, you know, like a time, like I've never heard it expressed like that, like opening a time tunnel. I mean, you know, that's really, and later on in training, you literally learn to, and you know, you've taken training, but you learn to interrogate the minds of people at the target. So you literally sketch them. And then you just put your pen in there and say, hey, you know, what's this all about? And you'll get something back from their conscious mind. Like Bill Ray says, it's magic. I don't know. I don't know how else to describe it. I've heard other people describe it as magic in a lab coat. Remote viewing. Magic. That's all I can say is it works. It's nice. Yeah. I like that. I see it working. As all I know is I see it work 2-3 days a week all the time.
All right. I'm kind of interested in, obviously, you know, what the idea of this show is to give people information that can support them in their struggle, in a way, because I feel like, I don't know if you've had a similar experience, but I feel like there's almost a psychic, autism that takes place, because people, when they get this connection to the psychic, is like they have another world experience that doesn't fit in with our normal social experience of the world. And they go, well, I can't really talk to people because they're going to think I'm nuts. And I know I'm not nuts. And arguably that they don't experience, I think they could be nuts. Yeah. So yeah. You get this sort of like, okay, you know, autism.
You can't go back.
Yeah. It's like, okay,
you can't go back.
I'm not talking. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't go and sit down around the football game and at the barbecue, and, you know, because it's just, you've got more interesting things to think about.
Yeah. So has that happened to you? You've had a big shift in who you deal with them.
Yeah. I mean, luckily I have, by this point, I've, you know, I have some friends, you know, that are in the field that they're kind of share these same experiences and stuff. Mm. And, you know, but for the most part, you know, at home, I try not to talk. I mean, I have relatives that are really interested in it. And I have done a few demos for some people in my family. So they, you know, the ones that have seen it, they kind of know I'm doing something. But, you know, I pretty much keep it at bay until I'm, you know, unless I'm dealing with my colleagues or at kind of at work. Because that's the thing, you're try and describe some of these things to people and they just have no idea what you're doing. Because really you have to experience it. You have to sit in the seat to really know what I'm talking about. And I would say that I would invite anybody, I mean, whether it be, you know, Lynn, Paul, whatever, you know, Monroe, if you want to really see remote viewing and it is at the most immersive way it could be perceived, I would go to Monroe. I mean, they're going to take you on a journey like you've never been to. CRV is at least a little bit less immersive. You know, you're sitting down, you're at a table, you know.
Right. I mean, yeah, that sort of takes us in a number of directions at the same time. Yeah. Monroe Institute, CRV. So that's more like ERV, extended remote viewing. You chill, relax, and then you leave your body and go somewhere. So is anybody, when you've done remote viewing, some people say it's totally undetectable. I remember on my training, it was like, no, this is totally undetectable. If you go do remote viewing, nobody can detect it. Is that your experience of remote viewing?
That's not my experience, no. Now, that doesn't mean I'm right. That's just not my experience.
I like that.
And what
I'm like you. Yeah. I go to people.
Yeah.
There is scientific evidence that this exists, but science doesn't know anything. Mm-hmm. It only knows what can be proven at the moment. That doesn't make it necessarily true. So
yeah, I say, you know, spotted, it's never it's always in a very sensitive situation. Like, you know, I have friends, colleagues that have been, you know, claimed, and I believe them. And I've had weird experiences. I won't say I was spotted at a military base, but I have had a strange experience tied to remote viewing that base. And I have also tasked things where not in the US, but sensitive areas outside of the States where there seems to be some kind of a technology that detects viewers. And I've seen it at multiple viewers showing the same data, same kinds of stories. Mm-hmm. Which to me, honestly, doesn't seem that far-fetched. If you consider Ingo Swann with the magnetometer, he'd done an experiment where he affected the magnetometer by remote viewing it. It actually moved the meter, the dial. So if that's possible, to say that they could come up with something to even detect it, I don't think it's that far-fetched. And obviously the governments know that it exists. Both, you know, all, I believe, you know, Russia, that's how we got into this, is Russia supposedly was doing this.
Absolutely.
So, so everybody knows, and I've heard pretty good, pretty solid indications that this is being done at other countries as well at a very high level. So if that is the case, it seems kind of obvious you'd want to combat something like that from an intelligence point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
especially, CRV, especially, you know, again, training. Unlike kind of Monroe, you get us, I mean, you could really, it's informational. It's not so much experimental. It's informational. Mm. You're going to, I could give you a stack of papers, 60 pages on one target through CRV, if there's enough meat on there to give it to you.
Mm.
So that's been my experience.
Right. So it sounds like that people might have the idea that, oh yeah, you can do anything, you can go anywhere, but there's certain restrictions, that there is an awareness in the, perhaps the military or the intelligence circles, that their information is not secure and they have taken precautions.
Mm-hmm. I would say to keep an open mind that it is possible there could be a technology at a very high level that may be detecting this. And also, if you play around with esoteric targets, you know, don't assume that there aren't things out there that may be more aware than you are, because there likely is. And if that is the case, maybe that's why they can detect you there.
Right. Now you got me onto an interesting subject to ask you about. So, and you know, I'm interested in your personal experience, but if you have something else, that's okay. It's this idea of I almost don't want to say it, because it's like been a little bit overdone, the UFO, the aliens, and the alien consciousness affecting us and all that, you know. But have you had experience where you've in remote viewing, where you said, oh, there's something going on there?
Many times.
Oh, many times.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, like, operational, like the source seemed like a military kind of a target, you know. And then I've also had client-based experiences where they want to know what happened in that experience. And I don't know if they're aliens, but they're something. There's something, and they don't look like us. And they seem to be able to do a lot more things than we're able to do from my perspective. Okay. But I've gotten pocket dimensions, very strange things.
Okay. So you've been, somebody's targeted you about some event that's happened in the past or whatever, and they want to know what happened.
Correct.
And then you've come across, then some consciousness has appeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see its form, and it's not human formed, and it's not animal formed, something else.
Correct. I've gotten these typical gray type things, a lot of those guys.
Okay.
Once in a while, very rarely, I've seen like these reptilian like things that they describe.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I have seen like these like buggy like creatures too.
Okay.
But as far as their form, that's the only kind of ones that I've seen outside of human or dealt with. And some of them are more passive, and others are, I haven't always like felt that they knew I was there, but there's been times where I felt like they knew I was there. And not always, but sometimes they don't want you there and they kind of let you know. In my experience.
Right.
Yeah.
So do they let you know by zapping you, or do they just go away?
They have a sensitive question.
You don't have to answer.
Well, no. I mean, like I said, I'm an open book. I when people ask me, like, I just say, look, if you give me a strange target and I plug remote viewing into this strange target, I'm going to give you a strange result. And that's, I just shrug my shoulders. I don't know. I plug this into that. This is the session. You take what you want from it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what these things are. It's beyond my understanding.
Yeah.
But in my experience, and I'm kind of a little bit adapted to it. I recognize it because it's happened more than once, but they have this ability to induce some kind of a fear in you to kind of scare you away. Like they just want you to go away. Okay. And sometimes I will, you know, and other times I just kind of just stick it out and they just eventually just let you look. But yeah, I kind of gave somebody a lot of grief about this recently because they were assigning Area 51 to students, but you're playing with something you really don't know what's going to happen when you right. do targets like that. Which is why I don't send my students there because I can't predict the outcome because I've seen different things happen. Skinwalker Ranch talks about these attachment things and stuff. It's kind of like that. You're playing with the phenomena, and if it doesn't really want you there, you don't know what the outcome's going to be.
Right. You know, so we're talking about things like the hitchhiker effect where
correct.
You might say somebody goes to, I mean, let me make it in the simple terms. Somebody goes to a haunted house or a place where there's lots of negative energy. And when they walk away, the energy follows them or part of the energy follows them, whether that's a consciousness or an energy, or, I mean, you could say energy is consciousness. So, you know, whatever it is, but they end up essentially starting a whole new, you know, can of worms for themselves. Yes, I mean, you know, obviously I feel like what you've, you know, indirectly touched on is at least people have asked me with remote viewing, is like, well, wait a minute, you're a viewer and you don't know what you're viewing. Doesn't that mean you're kind of like, I don't know if the patsy is the right word, is you could be sent anywhere. And that's kind of scary. And it could even be a moral where you're being sent. It's like ethically, we shouldn't be looking at these things, for example. Right. So that puts the remote viewer in an incredibly vulnerable position.
It does. And, you know, and that's a big, you know, if you're doing any remote viewing, you're putting a lot of trust in that tasker. And there are parameters. I mean, there's some things I kind of put that out there. Like, I don't need that, you know, unless it's benefiting someone or something like that. But if it's a mild curiosity where you're sending me into the fire, I'm not cool with that. I don't need the money, you know, that badly, you know. Right. But if it's a good cause or something, I'm happy to do it. But then again, you do so many, you know, because in the beginning, I was very curious about those things, you know, aliens, ETs, all very interesting. And to be able to perceive it through remote viewing, awesome. But then after you do enough of it, you're like, you know, you kind of had your fill. What else is out there? There's other things, you know.
Yeah.
But there is, it's an interesting phenomena. I've done a lot of those. I'm kind of like the guy for that. And what I say that is a lot of private clients seem to come to me for those kinds of topics. I don't know why, but I've done a lot of those. So I have even beyond remote viewing, I think it's pretty obvious there's something, you know, going on as far as, you know, UFOs and all that. So, I'm just very cautious as far as, you know, the room, because it's for me, you know, I have colleagues that would say, okay, this is just all information. This is, you know, whatever. But, and maybe it is like that for some people, or maybe that is what it is. But for me, if something knows that I'm there at the target, say it's very esoteric or something, I will end up sketching myself into the target. I'll sketch myself interacting with whatever it is. And I don't even realize what's happening at the time because I'm just collecting data. But it's almost kind of like Bob Monroe describes it, at least from my perspective. It's almost like there's a second you there, you know, feeling around, picking things up, whatever. But that's all speculation. Who knows? You know, it's just my experience with it.
Fascinating. Yeah, I mean, it is fascinating. I mean, I think, you know, obviously when you're beginning, because I was looking at a chat today and I was seeing that people were being sent on targets, like, you know, some esoteric temple that may have existed or not. But when you're beginning, it's so grounding to get feedback of a real target where you see photos and you know it's there. You see the target, you say, yes, I was there and it's a real place.
Yes.
And then my own experience of this esoteric remote viewing, where I went to a concept that my teacher, an energetic concept. So, I mean, really you have to go into a lot of detail and too much detail, but to go to an energetic place. And then the feelings that I had there were kind of confirmed, because it was like, wow, that's a real thing. This energy is a real, real thing, as far as I perceived it. But I've only got that because I've been to these really, like, really, really down-to-earth targets. So I suppose I'm going to ask you, like, well, number one is it's great to hear that you're training people. So if are you open? I mean, could somebody, anybody, Joe Public, just connect with you, or you?
Yeah, I'm currently, I like the one-on-one process of it, because I think it's a skill that it's worthy of that kind of attention. And I want the viewers that I train to be really good at this. And so to be honest with you, I'm kind of screening. I screen who I would train this to. And if they kind of fit the mold, then I've just started doing this. So I'm training one student right now. I will train them. So I'm trying to keep it very small. Anybody that comes out of training for me, I want them to be really something special. So I'm not looking to just pump out certifications. You know, I'm looking for very special people.
Mentoring to share this time with. Is that a better word?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Rather than training. So if somebody could come with no skill, and you say, okay, I'll mentor you or if they've already done remote viewing, then they could come to you. And
yeah, because when you kind of grow into this, you're discovering things along the way. So to me, the mentoring aspect of it is almost as important as the basic education. Because there, like I said, there was things that was happening to me, and I'm sure some things like this happened to other viewers along the way, that I really had I didn't know how to cope with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. I called my target and said, hey, there's dead people here in this target. What's going on? You know, like, what's this about? So, you know, when you have these kind of these crises that kind of bend your mind or of what you think is possible, it's good to have somebody to kind of lean on and say, okay, you know,
yeah,
you're going to experience some of this stuff. Some of this stuff is a little weird. It's not going to hurt you. It's fine. Or it's normal. It's part of the process, whatever. It's important to have that. I think it's important to have that guidance.
But you've never had like PTSD from, like, I mean, you tell me, like, you seeing dead people. I mean,
okay.
I'd get PTSD if I saw dead people, sure. I'd go like, oh.
That target that I talked about, it's a San Mateo target. It brings me to tears when I read it. It's the only session I can't go over anymore.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, like I said, there are things, that's why you got to really be careful. I mean, there's things out there that are just nasty. And then, like you said, you know, I could literally make up something in my mind, assign it to someone. I could say, okay, the target is the nastiest, meanest, demonic thing or whatever. And this remote viewer could have this horrible experience. And what we found is, and I've seen this in other colleagues of mine are doing stuff like this, where they're doing, they call it cowboy, but they're doing, they'll do targets like Dr. Strange, you know, like made up targets, and they will get information as if you're talking to Dr. Strange. Now is it coming from one of their minds? I mean, I don't know, but there seems to be a consciousness in some universe where this guy exists. You know, so it just makes you wonder, you know, we don't know what's going on. It's a really an open field right now. I mean, we still really don't really know what this is all about.
Yeah. I find this is a kind of, I mean, you're kind of pointing to the difficulty in proving the psychic, because if the psychic functioning, because I've always found that if you asked me to do energy work on Dr. Strange, I would come up with energy work. I would come up with where he's got his problems and so on. I know that. Yeah. Because he's energy. Yeah. He doesn't not exist. He doesn't exist in a way that we understand. It's kind of working out what is real and not real. But when you're approaching it from an energy level, it's real. So, you know, that's kind of fascinating. Yeah. Well, I think we've got to wrap things up. But I mean, it's been really brilliant talking to you. I think people are going to get a lot from hearing your story. So thank you so much.
Yeah, great talking to you, Richard.
And you can give me a link if you've got one to your Tasker, or how, if people wanted to do some remote viewing, you know, with you as their viewer, they can, you know, go to the show notes, as it were.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I just, since I got you here, I would recommend you guys check out PsyCore. It's a remote viewing a company. They're doing great work. Theo Fisher is a great instructor. He's been going around Europe right now training people in controlled remote viewing, and he's got a big seminar coming up. So I invite you guys to check that out too.
Oh, great. Okay. All right, mate. I'll be in touch.
Sounds great, Richard. Talk soon, buddy.